Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob, Mike, Melissa, and Tom are here.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, guys. Dana's here.
Hi, Dana. All right. So we get started. What's on your mind?
Well, we had an interesting thing happen this week, I guess. Somewhat of a negative reaction that we didn't expect. Now, I'm going to preempt it by saying I think these clients, you know, and again, our situation, we're taking over retiree's book. We had concerns with how well the retiree built us up to some of the clients. We also, you know, until we got our hands on the book, didn't, you know, we've become very, you know, formative in terms of who is a valuable client, maybe more so than his perceptions were. Okay, so we met with the clients middle of October. So we had just started this program. They were by our book standard our number two client. Now I say clients in that
the partner.
They were partners. They're not married, so they had separate accounts here. Her account was worth a whole lot. His account was not worth a whole lot. Over the years, we noticed that, you know, I sat in one or two meetings before Rob retired. He always talked to them very individually, okay? We did our best when we met to not talk that way, to talk to them as a pair, invite them to our event, talk about, you know, the quote-unquote, we've hired a consultant, we're going to be focusing on multi-generational wealth planning. We're very excited about this. It means we're going to have, you know, less clients, more focus on clients. You're obviously one of our top clients, yada, yada. Okay. We thought the meeting went really well. She even bought some stock. Like, things seemed great. We were really excited because they had scheduled meetings with us a couple times and had canceled them and rescheduled them like twice before this meeting. So we were concerned going into this meeting where they were at. My old partner had told us that he had thought they had equal money or had money elsewhere. She had owned a big trucking company. Okay. So fast forward to this week, Monday, we get a phone call from a bank and trust department. They're ACATing their accounts to the trust department. So we call them. She explained that, you know, they used what I said as their reason, that there's concern that Don's accounts weren't big enough, that maybe there was going to be a day if something would happen to her, that he wouldn't be able to keep his accounts here. They both have a couple kids. These were not IRA accounts per se, so we don't have beneficiary. We didn't have accounts for kids. I mean, obviously, you know, that's something we wanted to work on having. You know, we invited her to bring her kids to our event, you know, yada, yada. Okay. So they ACATed out this week. But again, it's her second biggest client. That was the thing that stuck in her mind as her reason. I think that, you know, partially I think that was just sort of used as like their kind of get out of jail card. I do think they were already probably out the door in some respect. But again, that kind of threw us for a loop this week.
Sure. It will. Yeah. I don't think you did anything wrong.
I don't either necessarily. You know, I just, again, it, you know, anytime you get, you know, it's a $30,000 revenue account, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Had you gotten an ACAT because you didn't call them? because you didn't work to meet with them, because you were going to introduce less service to them, then you'd probably feel bad.
Yeah.
But you guys weren't doing anything wrong. They were out the door. You know, you're going to lose clients when somebody retires.
Yes.
And it's part of the business. And you try not to, but you're just not going to be a good fit with everybody.
Right.
And
I know that. You know, I think, you know, we've taken it all this week. We've taken it all in stride. You know, it's part of it. It's not our first client we've lost. It's not going to be, as Tom said, it's not going to be the last one.
I think you'll find that it will be pretty much the last one that you'll lose for anything but death or something like that. You won't lose clients with Supernova. I mean, once they understand how valuable it is and the attention they get, they won't leave. But until they do, and in the middle of a transition, especially if they won't let you demonstrate what you're going to do, you can't control that. Once you're in the system and there, you're rocking and rolling with them, you're going to do great, and you won't lose clients. I had a guy that I've had a guy that I've coached since I went into business as a coach back in 07. We went through the whole recession. He didn't lose one client. So, he's a good FA, but he attributed it to the 12-4-2. So,
right.
You know, I would say that you treated them like a couple, so there was no threat in terms of his having a smaller count, or you never implied that they wouldn't be valuable together. Or so I don't think you should kick yourself at all. I don't think you did anything wrong based on what you said. Maybe you did and you didn't tell me, but you never said anything that wasn't flattering or wasn't in their best interest.
I think they put on a good act, you know.
They were looking for how do you quit somebody that's going to give you amazing service and personal attention and treat you great? I mean, you move because you already figured out you wanted to move, and they figured out an excuse to do it. You know that. You've seen FAs do that. They leave because they want to check, and, you know, they justify it by making up, you know, some story about why the firm isn't any good, you know.
Yeah, I think part of it for them, though, too, was like Mike said, our old partner Rob always treated him separate, and we didn't really have a lot of meetings to treat him as a couple. Mm-hmm. So maybe even though we were trying to project it as we look at you as one unit, they didn't receive it that way or whatever, but, you know.
And I think as a team, it just kind of reminded us that, you know, with Rob's clients, as we're working through this transition, we are still in the prospecting stage with them since
right.
Rob's just, you know, officially retired in March. So, but, you know, because we did talk a lot about it. I mean, it was a hit to the revenue, but we are rebounding from it. But just a good reminder.
I would say that it was the husband/boyfriend, whatever he is, problem. Doesn't sound, especially if she bought stocks.
Yeah.
I think it's probably how they processed it. You know, we were sitting in the meeting. It was a great meeting because I was in the meeting with Mike. And I just think they probably maybe processed it differently and didn't talk about it until after they left here. So back to your point, Rob, it was probably him thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to be able to stay here. And that was the car ride home conversation. So, but again, I think, you know, I said to Mike that clearly we didn't have the relationship because I feel like the client called me to clarify that, hey, we heard this in the meeting, you know, we're concerned, but, you know, they already had one foot out the door. So.
Oh, you know what else I'm feeling right now, just as you said that? He felt, I mean, you're you know, I even though I just said it, I felt it a little more when you said that. He felt threatened.
And
he felt threatened not just because of you guys. He felt threatened because he didn't have as much money as she has. And, you know, it's like when the husband doesn't make as much money as the wife. They feel threatened.
Yeah, and their account size is very...
Yeah, it was like 150 grand total versus like...
3.4.
3.4.
Right.
And this is the funny part about it to me, is her money goes to like... her money goes to like this trust, you know, like Wilmington Trust or something, and his is going to like the local banker, you know, so they're getting split up, you know, like anyhow.
There may be more there than you guys know too.
That's true.
Yep.
So anyhow, that was kind of our
we're just kind of rebounding from
that. you have great weeks and you have weeks that get you, you know.
Tell me a good story to make up for.
I did get off the phone, I guess, with clients coming back in January, and it's like a $1.3 million rollover, you know.
Good.
You know, so you know, we're not Tommy and I have been, we've not been doing this all that long, so we're not in a phase that we're, like, sitting on our laurels just trying to hold on to our chickens that we got, you know. You got to keep going, you got to keep marketing, you got to keep prospecting, you got to do all that all the time. And, you know, is what it is, but we thought we should lead off with that today since, you know,
we're still going
through
it.
That's still in our sort of headspace, I guess.
Yeah, it's just really important, you know, I don't have to tell you guys that, but just put it behind you as quickly as you can. Move on. It's funny how sometimes you'll have 20 good conversations and one bad one. And the one you want to share with me is the bad one. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, it's just how it goes. You know, you play sports, you don't remember.
It is the second biggest client that we have. So I mean, it wasn't like it was just bad. It was sort of awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but it was $3 million, right?
Yeah.
$3 million. Yeah, you'll get, I mean, $3 million, you got one for $1.5 million, you'll get another one for $1.5 million, you'll make them up for it and, you know, 6 weeks. So don't worry. You got a lot more $10 million guys out there. And people say, well, you're not in, you know, our geography. Well, forget about your geography. I mean, in the world, there are more millionaires being created every day now than ever in the history of the world. And the opportunities are greater than they've ever been. And people need more service and more help than they've ever needed. Now, it isn't going to go to everybody. Okay, but I was just reading that article on universities, you know, colleges that are going bankrupt, but the other ones, the good ones, are thriving. So there'll be fewer colleges out there, just like there'll be fewer financial advisors, but the good ones will have more money than they've ever had. So you just want to be part of the good ones because the bifurcation will happen in our business too. Now, as long as you have a bull market, everybody survives in our business. But if you get into a bear market, you can lose a lot of people pretty quick in terms of financial advisors getting out of the industry, just because it's, you know, they just do. But anyway, you'll see. Over time, I hate to lose people. I mean, I hated to lose clients, but you know, sometimes you have clients that aren't really, you know, we call them customers. That was a customer, okay, and because they didn't, you know, one reason or another, they didn't value you guys. So until they value you, they're a customer, And, you know, you can have somebody with $5 million, they don't give any business. They don't listen to you. They don't value. The curious thing about that situation was is that she bought from you, and so she listened. That's just
yeah,
what,
no, that's
really,
why it shocked me.
Yeah,
felt
that's
like
very
you were in a good way
but
there.
She, I would probably talk to her again sometime. Give her a call, you know, mark it on your calendar, give her a call every year and just say, hey, just thinking about you, you know, wanting to see how things are going, want to see, you know, give you a second opinion on your performance and just tell you that we'd love to have you back sometime. Because it sounds to me like she probably moved in order to make him happy because he was upset. And why would she move? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I think it was all about him. So anyway, I forget about him and just call her.
You got it.
They may have broken up by that. Who knows?
Yeah. He didn't seem like the healthiest cat. Anyway, yep.
Yeah, I'm doing a psychological job on him. Anyway,
yeah,
How was the week? Other than that, in terms of the the material,
yeah. So we've been working on our folders diligently. COIs. We got Tom took one of his biggest clients Monday to our one CPA that we've been doing a lot with. It's been a lot of back and forth. I just actually had another big client come in. This afternoon, I met with that same CPA. We're doing Roth conversion stuff. So we had a good COI week, and it's kind of interesting how that coincided with the material for the week. Talking process with him, getting him excited about what we're doing. and at the same time, kind of bringing our bigger clients into this, you know, kind of hand-holding resource, know the person, provide the expert kind of place. Which is good. Otherwise, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of been where we're at. It's been a very busy week. It feels like it should be like Friday already. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, I agree. It's been funny, hasn't it? I agree with you. I've been working too hard this week.
Yeah, it's the holidays coming up or what, but it's,
right.
You know, so it's, you know, I think we're, I think we feel good. I mean, I think all of us as a team, as a group, I think we feel good about where we're at. Melissa goes into her FAA training up in Purchase and on the other side of the holidays. So trying to get geared up for that. Wendy, she's trying to figure out getting her vacation days in and stuff for the end of the year. So she's got some scrambling around. She was supposed to be off today but came in. God bless her. It's just as far as the material goes, you know, it's funny, the out of town client thing. Tommy and I both have a lot of out of town clients. We do that. We try to, you know, bulk visit, and it's also a good reason for bulk prospecting, like, hey, I'm gonna be to see so and so, you know, down the street, can I come say hi to you? So kind of interesting. And then in terms of like if people miss the appointments, that kind of thing, how to handle that, you know, we had some discussion about that before the call here. I think that makes some sense.
Good. What about did you like the 24-month calendar?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yep, we're actually talking about this at lunch today. Sort of discussing how those calls would go or could get touches, all that kind of stuff on that. I think it makes sense so that way it doesn't seem like, hey, last January we talked about the same thing. I think that's a good piece, you know, in terms of how to kind of build this out. And it's also something, you know, as we're kind of getting into, again, I don't know if you tried to do it this way, but obviously January's coming here and week and a half, so you know, it's a good template for us starting to ramp this up.
Yeah, I mean, you're very fortunate to be starting now, just calendar wise. It's always a good, it's always a good time to get organized and basically get your act together. But particularly, you know, starting out in January, it's like, okay, here's what we're going to do for the new year. And people are like, okay, you know, they're kind of like ready for change.
Right.
So you give yourself an extra catalyst in terms of rationale of why you're doing it and why they should do it. And I think you'll find people are, you know, they're trying in the new year to be organized, work out, do all the things they're supposed to do. And in this case, you have the structure to, as their financial coach, to help them stay on track all year. So I would even suggest that would be part of their New Year's resolution, to be a good partner with you, be there when they say, you know, be on the appointment. That's their real responsibility. Look at the agenda. If you have changes, let us know. If you can't be there, let us know. And then one of the other things that you may not have as big a deal, big a challenge as some people do, but getting clients to do what they're supposed to do, meaning fill out the forms, meet with the estate planning attorney, whatever it is you're trying to get them to do, sometimes it's difficult to make them do it and you have no leverage. Well, with the agenda and then the executive summary, if they agree to meet with the estate planning attorney, you put it on the agenda, on the executive summary, with who's responsible and by when. So it's kind of like they're on the board of directors and that's their responsibility. They're on the finance committee or whatever, and that's what they're supposed to do before the next board meeting. So people have a tendency to be more compliant when there's that kind of accountability and follow-up. So I think you'll find you'll be able to get clients that do more and pay more attention to what they should be doing.
Yep.
little psychological thing. The other thing is to consider, I don't have a lot of people doing this, but you may want to, in a demonstration of how organized you are, you may want to send out the calendar. There aren't going to be that many changes for you. You'll probably adhere to it pretty much. If it's an emergency and you want to change one of the items on the calendar because the markets are doing something weird, you can always
right.
do that.
Right.
But
well, then, like, what
hold...
would you do? Like, if I have a client that I know hates annuities and doesn't have any.
Right.
Right. Would you still do February as, like, annuity discussion?
Well, you know, I might change it to beneficiary discussion.
Right.
Okay, I think if I was going to rewrite this workbook, which I'm doing right now, I probably would have put beneficiary. Do I have it on there anywhere else? No.
I don't see it. Yeah. 529 stuff. That's the only thing, really, with, like, Yeah.
So I changed that. Yeah, use beneficiary discussion. The beneficiary discussion is an interesting one because it's very specific. It's kind of estate planning, but it's not, you know, because estate planning really is an annuity, but you need to have a beneficiary when you own an annuity. So who's the beneficiary? Your 401k, your IRA rollover, your and so forth.
Life insurance.
And what?
Yeah.
Right. See, you get a lot in there, and what you're really talking about is not as important for first marriages. Third marriage, you could have some really wacko beneficiary situation.
Uh-huh.
Right?
We have them.
Yeah. And the worst thing in the world from your point of view, even though technically it's not your fault, if that guy dies, the family of the, you know, the first wife gets the money because he unintentionally didn't change the life insurance. and he's got some little kids with the third wife. And, I mean, that's, like, horrible, right?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And so you're kind of embarrassed even though it wasn't your fault, okay, because technically. But you're kind of the quarterback. You know, everybody else gets paid for – estate planners get paid for doing estate planning, not for changing the way the accounts are titled. Insurance guys sell life insurance. And then they leave. The beneficiary thing is kind of up to us to make sure it's aligned with their wishes. And your job is sort of to make sure everybody else is doing their job. And when you do that, I will tell you, it changes the relationship. Because then they do see you as their quarterback rather than just their financial guy helps on them stocks and bonds. And I think that is valuable. So it's extra work, but all you have to do is catch one, and it's like a miracle. And then you can use that story forever when describing what it is that you do.
Yep.
See what I mean? It's just incredibly valuable to you.
I would agree.
Yeah. And I, you know, having been in the business, you know, 47 years, I've seen it all in terms of mistakes and unwanted things happening and very sad. And so that's why I say it with more emphasis. So I like that. Thanks for bringing, I had actually looked at that calendar for a little while. Anything else I'd change? I probably wouldn't do, I don't know. So you've got a lot of long-term care, life insurance, all kind of together. I'd probably switch around something like that and put in more. Instead of mortgages, I would do liability management.
Yeah, and we probably put in, you know, like banking. Like we're getting in mortgage sales, getting more and more into, you know, our banking products. We probably would have a, let's, you know, like checking savings review, and that may even just be talking about their local bank and making sure they're taking advantage of good rates in their money market and emergency savings and those sorts of things. But then it also opens the door that if their rates are terrible, we can offer what we have. Or
sure, yeah, I had a guy bring in that kind of thing.
The guy
before you all. With Morgan Stanley just brought in $2.5 million just on a, oh, by the way, you know, here's what our money market fund can pay. And it was that much better than what they were getting. So he brought it in.
Yeah, 1.7 is not bad. Although I'm having a whole heck of a problem. That was another one of my weird ones this week. But, and that's some stuff that we want to talk about more. At the very least, make sure our clients are aware. We have, as our top clients, so like let's discuss like the reserve, your reserve eligibility, the benefits you get as a Morgan Stanley client, those sorts of things.
Right. Those things are great.
There's a bunch of things that we probably tweak if, you know, like I like having like a meeting that's just based on a follow up of the previous meeting. You know, especially with life insurance reviews, like you said, estate planning. I mean, I've had clients I had for 10 years that are just telling me now they're getting a will. You know, it'd be nice to, like, over a month, they've at least got that thing moving.
See, that's what I mean. You just, they, there's no urgency. And so by, you know, and I'd use that idea of the board of directors. You know, you're the CEO, I'm your CFO, okay? And we're responsible for this company together. I'm here to help you. And we should treat this, you know, the liability side of the balance sheet, you know, mortgages and lines of credit and other things are just as important as any company, especially when if you get into larger dollars. So it's you know, the agenda and the executive summary will really help on that compliance with what they should do, especially in things like that, wills and estate planning and meeting with estate planning attorneys and stuff like that, that they just procrastinate on.
Right.
And that, you know, that's life insurance and second to die insurance. All that stuff is just long-term care. They just, you know, once you make up your mind they should own it, now you got to race against their declining health. And if something happens, a heart attack or something, and then they're not eligible because you or they didn't hustle to get it done, not good. So
I agree.
That's where the compliance comes in. Okay, good. I like the way you're thinking. You're on it.
Thank you. We're trying.
So build. Yeah. You guys are good planners. When you're doing your planning on the cash flow analysis, I mean, I think you mentioned the cash flow analysis, right? And determining whether or not you guys do a cash flow analysis, right?
Yeah, as far as like your financial plan.
Yeah. What are they going to need when retirement, and what are their expenses?
Yeah.
That's the most important thing to keep up with. Because I always say planning isn't a plan. It's a process that goes on forever and should be updated on a regular basis. The question is, what should be updated? The cash flow analysis is something you keep track of. No one is ever spending the right amount of money in retirement, particularly. Well, they're not spending the right amount of money ever. They're either spending too much or too little. It may be a small amount that's not worth mentioning. Maybe a large amount, which is potentially catastrophic. But they're never spending the right amount. It would be too precise. What's the exact dollar amount they should be spending? Who knows? You can figure that out then, and then you give them permission to spend more, or you rein them in. And we all have clients that are spending too much and are potentially a liability for you and the firm. So it's just one of those things to keep in mind, is that cash flow analysis is, if you're going to procrastinate on doing updates in the financial plan, do not procrastinate on the cash flow analysis. That's the one thing that should be updated regularly. That's just, you know, I don't give a lot of advice on financial planning. That's just a little bit.
Yeah. We'd agree.
Okay.
Well, things change. You know,
things change, right? Yeah.
Tommy just broke his arm. Just kidding. Well, perfect. So I think we have a little bit of a break with you. Have a wonderful holiday season. Happy New Year. And we'll have positive stories for you the next time we talk.
Yeah, and just use this time to get all your paperwork done. You know, in terms of getting the folders out, the mini-me folders out to your clients, and, you know, get your structure all set up, build this 24-month calendar. So you kind of go into the new year all, you know, with plan, process, and rituals. Mike would, Tom would understand that from the Marine Corps. I mean, I'm a Navy guy. I'm all about plan, process, and rituals, right? So you got to have it. Attention to detail, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, the more rituals there are, the less you have to remember. You just do it by the book. And then you can use your brain to figure out problems. Okay. Hey, have a wonderful holiday. Thanks for the update, and you guys are you're right on track. Keep it up.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rob. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.